Morning. If you'll be turning in your text to 1 Timothy 6, where we had our scripture reading, we'll go back there here in just a few minutes. On the afternoon of Sunday, August the 2nd, 2009, Greg Brush, a veteran salmon fishing guide, was walking his dogs on a rare day off from work. On his hip was a large handgun, a .454 Ruger. Brown bears are a constant presence in Brush's neighborhood, and many residents feel the largely unhunted animals have little fear of man. Because of many bear-related incidents in the area, Brush always has brown bears on his mind, even when walking a well-maintained road. On just such a road, less than 500 yards from his house, Brush stopped when he heard a twig snap behind him. Turning his head toward the sound, Brush saw a monstrous brown bear charging towards him. There was no warning, he stressed. None of the classic teeth popping or woofing, raising up on hind legs, or bluff charging that you read about. When I spotted him, he was 15 yards from me, his head down and his ears pinned back. He was coming like a freight train, in total chase mode. Brush instinctively backpedaled to avoid the charge. Drawing the Ruger from his holster, he fired from the hip as he closed the distance. I know I missed the first shot, he said, but I clearly hit him after that, firing four or five shots. Brush finally fell on his back on the edge of the road. Miraculously, the bear collapsed a mere 5 feet from his boot soles, leaving claw marks in the road where Brush had only seconds before been standing. The bear was moaning, his huge head still moving as Brush aimed the Ruger to fire a finishing shot. Biologists determined that the bear had measured 10 foot 6 inches from paw to paw, was between 15 and 20 years old, and weighed between 900 and 1,000 pounds, which was estimated about 400 pounds less than what he should have weighed. Upon further inspection, the bear had evidence of grass in his molars, a sure sign he was starving to death. He would not have survived the winter. Biologists also determined that this was a predatory charge. There was no carcass nearby for him to protect, and obviously no cubs to protect. Had he not been able to kill him, he surely would have killed Mr. Brush and likely eaten him. First thing I want to say this morning is Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. I can respect and understand each and one of you's dedication to your families. And we want to say Happy Father's Day. Mothers, make sure you treat them good. We want to welcome each one of you here this morning. And we want to say a special thank you to our visitors. You're our honored guests, and we hope you'll stay afterwards so that we can get to know you. To the elders, it's truly an honor and a privilege to be able to get up and speak this morning, and I appreciate that and take it seriously. We also, as a congregation, have to be thankful for the men that we have here that serve. I want to thank Randy for reading the scripture this morning, for Reagan leading the song service, for Ryan in the opening prayer, and for Nathan leading us through Lord's Supper. We truly are blessed to have so many men here that serve. Jacob made a reference last week about having a boyhood dream of being in a boy band. I will also resist the temptation to break down and move while I'm up here, so you don't have to worry about that. The American Institute of Stress says that the fight or flight response plays a critical role in how we deal with stress and danger in our environment. Essentially, the response prepares us to either fight or flee the threat. By priming our bodies for action with an influx of hormones, we are better prepared to perform under pressure. The stress created by the situation can actually be helpful, making it more likely that you will cope effectively or efficiently to the threat given. This type of stress can help you perform better in situations where you are under pressure to do well, similar to Mr. Brush's situation and the brown bear. The fight or flight response can actually play a critical role in your survival. By gearing you up for fight or flee, the fight or fight response makes it more likely that you will survive the danger. So let's look over into 1 Timothy chapter 6. And let's see how we can make a spiritual correlation with these thoughts. As Randy read this morning, 1 Timothy 6, verses 11 through 12. I'll be reading from the ESV this morning. Verse 11 states, "But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." The title of my lesson this morning is Flee, Follow, and Fight. I'd like to take a few minutes this morning and speak about each one of these characteristics to how we may better prepare ourselves as Christians. Flee. The term flee is described as running away from a place or situation of danger. To turn from, to leave, or in my example here, flight. In the story, Mr. Brush had two options, to fight or to flight. His initial reaction, as we said, was to flight or to flee from the danger. It states that Brush instinctively backpedaled to avoid the charge. I think that if any of us had a 1,000-pound brown bear running at us, we would probably think about doing the exact same thing. Now, come to find out, bears can run up to like 30 miles an hour, so that's not necessarily the best move, which Mr. Brush knew. Last year, my family and I, we were out at the farm, outside of town, out in Caldwell. And I was inside working in our cabin that we have there doing some stuff inside. And Kat, my wife, had taken some of the kids off for a walk around in the woods. Well, Asher was still outside. Our third boy was outside playing around outside the house. And I had the door open. And I heard him yell, "Papa, look what I found." So I dropped what I was doing and walked to the front door. And as I walked to the front door, there he was, dangling an 18-inch, maybe 2-foot, copperhead by the tail. I now know that there is a third response to fight or flight, and that's freeze, because I froze. I'll never forget that feeling of hopelessness, that feeling of hair standing up on my neck, the pit in my stomach. And I froze for about 2 or 3 seconds. I froze and didn't know what to do. And I came to my senses, and I looked him dead in the eye, and I said, "Asher, drop it and run. Drop it and run." He drops it, run. I then went into fight mode, grabbed the 2x4 that was beside the door, and took care of the snake. There's sometimes no way that we don't have an idea of how we're going to react in some of these situations. But we can prepare ourselves to try to have the best responses possible within those situations. In verse 11 that we just read, it says to flee these things. So God's given us several examples throughout the Bible to help us prepare for certain situations so that we may react appropriately. So what are these things he wants us to flee from? So let's turn in our Bibles to a few notes. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 18. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 18 reads, "Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body." I think we as Christians and individuals would be ignorant to not understand that the world revolves around sexual desire, and a lot of the appeal within advertising and everything revolves around that. And we have to be prepared for that. And that's what is being told to us here, to flee from those things. We have to understand that that is an issue, and when it comes up, run from it. Get away from it. Do what you can to flee from it. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 14. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 14. This is a short one. "Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry." Idolatry. Now, I don't necessarily think we have the same issues that they did at that point where people were worshiping gods at, and I'm not saying that that doesn't happen, but necessarily in our environment, it's not that we worship statues and so forth, but we do have a lot of different things that we can consider as idols, whether it be our things, our stuff, our money, several different things that we as individuals have a problem, and we have a duty as Christians to evaluate ourselves and make sure that those things aren't controlling us day in and day out. And if they are, what's he tell us to do? Flee from them. Let's turn over to 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22. "So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart." So we are to flee youthful passions. Now, I think we all know what that, the first thing that comes to our mind with that, but this can mean a lot of different things, right? Youthful passions. I know, I was probably hot-headed when I was young. I think that that's, I was quick to temper. That's a youthful passion that you could think, to quarrel. There's a lot of people that were quick to fight. So anything that can draw us into sinful desires, whether it be needless controversies, childish things, we should flee from those things. My wife would probably add another one here. She would say that I flee from confrontation, because anytime we get in an argument, I kind of shut down. But I tell her that's wisdom. I tell her it's wisdom. I know better. I know my place. In all seriousness, though, these are just a few examples of different things that God teaches us that we should flee from. He's also given us examples of people within the Bible. Numbers 22 tells us the story of Balak and Balaam. Balak sent for Balaam to come to curse the Israelites because he was afraid that he had seen what they had done to the Amorites, and he wanted him to curse them. God came to Balaam, told him to not go with him. Verse 12 says, "You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed." Balak's company then came back a second time and asked the same question again. And instead of telling him exactly what God had already told him, what did he do? He went back to God and asked him, are you sure? Are you sure that this is what we should do. Now, God did spare Balaam, which in other situations throughout the Bible, he didn't for his disobedience, but he definitely wasn't happy with him, right? God doesn't take kindly to disobedience. And there are certain situations that we have to flee from, especially when he tells us to. Acts 24 and verse 24. Acts 24 and verse 24 tells us the story of Felix and how he fled the words that Paul spoke to him about the faith in Christ Jesus. He also fled the fact that he knew that Paul was innocent and still decided to keep him in jail for two more years. In the end, Felix was removed from office in around 60 AD for failing to deal properly with a dispute between the Jews and Gentiles in Caesarea. That trend continued on his end, obviously. Felix fled the word when he shouldn't have. Let's turn over to James 4 and verse 7. James 4 and verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We are to resist the devil. The only way for us to resist the devil is what? Submitting to God, drawing nearer to him. When you do this, the devil will be defeated, and he will flee from you, just as was proved with Jesus. So there's been several times throughout the years that the kids will be playing and doing something or saying something, and Caitlin and I will look at each other and be like, where did they learn that from? I don't know where they learned that from. Then come to find out, like, several weeks or months down the road, one of us will do that exact thing, and we'll just bust out laughing at realizing that, oh, they got it from one of us. Kids are like sponges. They soak in every little thing from the people that they hang around, their parents, their friends. They soak up everything that's around. And you realize that being a parent. We as a parent know that who we follow and hang around severely influences our day-to-day lives. Sometimes to the point that we don't even realize it. Back in verse 11 of 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul tells us that we should pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. So to pursue something means to follow it, which brings me to my second point. To follow. Let's turn over to Mark 1 and verse 18. Mark chapter 1, verse 18. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. So without hesitation, Peter and Andrew dropped their nets to rot by the beach and follow Jesus for the rest of their lives. By leaving them immediately, they gave their true or every evidence of sincerity of the situation that they were in. They were willing to give up everything for the cause of Christ. We don't know what awaits us, as they did not, when they joined his number. But they cheerfully went without reserve. Running your own business presents different challenges. And you learn a lot of things about people and individuals and life in general. And it's kind of in my own personality to side with the best of people and think of the best of them and give them the benefit of the doubt. Sometimes to a fault. I've learned from past experience, and some of the guys that work with me would know, can say the same thing, that if you find an issue within your organization, a cancer, you don't let it linger. You get rid of it. What made me think of this when preparing for this lesson was in the past, I've definitely hesitated in situations like this that, not that overall it ended up bad, but those people that were there no longer work with us anymore. But I did hesitate, and in some situations, it caused issues within the team or the group or the business. So I turn this lesson around and see from the other side of the spectrum that from Peter and Andrew's situation, they saw something good. They saw something really good, and they dropped what they were doing, and they went for it. We have to be decisive in our decisions and prepare ourselves to follow and serve the one who called us. Let's turn to Philippians 3 and verse 8. Philippians 3 and verse 8. Reads, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowledge, or knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Paul states his situation here of losing all things. He had power, he had wealth, he had everything that he could ever desire. And he counts them all as rubbish to follow God's word. Let's turn over to 2 John 9 and 11. We're getting into this morning. 2 John 9 and verse 11. It reads, everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting. For whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. So this is kind of a combination of both flee and follow, right? He's telling them to flee the false teaching and follow God's word. This is a combination of a little bit of both, knowing that in certain situations that are presented with us, we may have to do both. It may not just be one. As we kind of stated earlier, we have to watch out for who we follow. Kind of like Paul stated over in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, bad company ruins good morals. So after the brown bear attack, Mr. Brush has tried to duplicate that shooting several different times within practice. The most he's been able to pull off to date has been 2 shots in the estimated of time that he had when the attack actually happened. You might find that odd, but there's several situations that have occurred throughout the years that it didn't end up the same way as Mr. Brush did. They end either with the individual not being able to get their pistol out of their holster at all, or they aren't able to fire enough shots within that certain amount of time to be able to take care of the brown bear in that situation. Mr. Brush was prepared, though. Well aware of the danger, he had prepared for this account several times. Many hundreds of times he practiced this situation over and over so that he could perform in that scenario. It wasn't that Mr. Brush just went out walking one day and a bear showed up. He had anticipated this situation many times over. This brings me to my final point. Sometimes we're called to fight. Sometimes we just can't flee, and we're expected to fight as Christians. In verse 12 of 1 Timothy and verse 6, it reads, fight the good fight of faith. of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Playing football for 15 plus years throughout my life, I can definitely relate to the fight response. I saw many fights on and off the field. I'll admit I've been in a few myself. Unfortunately, even though that I feel that those situations that I went through helped me give me grit and drive to go through life, I don't necessarily think that that's what Paul is trying to express here. I don't think he says when a problem comes up, we turn into Mike Tyson and start clubbing away at it. Okay? That's not necessarily what's being said here. However, there are scriptures that support the figurative teaching of us preparing ourselves to fight. Let's turn over to Jude 3. Jude 3 says, "Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation," that was his intent at first of the letter, "I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints." So this is a specific appeal by Jude to the urgency of our defense or their defense in that specific situation. We have to be aware of the threats around us day in and day out and be prepared to fight for the truth. Jude understood that. The truth was under attack by false doctrine at that time, as it is today. Day in and day out, we see different things being taught that aren't represented in the Bible. We have to be prepared to fight for those. Sometimes we see these things from a mile away, and we can prepare for them, and we know that they're coming, and we know that it's happening, and we can be ready for them. But sometimes they just show up on our doorstep, or they're 15 feet behind us, and a branch that snaps. And we have to prepare ourselves day in and day out by reading of the scripture and setting our mind in the right position so that whenever those do come, we're prepared and ready. Will we give in to the temptation, or will we be prepared to fight? It's our duty as Christians to be prepared to fight. I think you all probably knew I was going to go to this. Ephesians 6, Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of the evil in the heavenly places." So in my Bible, this section of Scripture is specifically labeled the whole armor of God. Several times through VBS, we have this posted upon the wall to prepare our children to be prepared to have the armor of God to be able to justify and take control in a world that pulls them in every different direction. It's no different for each and every one of us. As Christians, each one of us are like soldiers. Are there times that soldiers have to flee or retreat? Yes, there are times that soldiers have to flee and retreat in certain situations when they're outnumbered. And that's a good thing. They have to know when to be able to retreat. But for the most part, soldiers are meant to fight. This is a mindset that God expects us to have, and not something that necessarily comes natural sometimes. We have to work at it. Studying the scriptures daily, as 2 Timothy 3, 16 through 17 says. Says in that passage, we have to be equipped for every good work. Equipped doesn't mean that, I hope I have everything that I need whenever I get there. No, equipped means that you have to do some planning. You have to make sure that you have the tools that are necessary for the particular situation that you're coming up against. Paul charged Timothy at the beginning of this letter of 1 Timothy to fight the good fight. He said, "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare." And this is stressed throughout the Bible, that we have to be prepared. Just as Mr. Brush was prepared when that brown bear got there, because he had practiced and done it over and over and over again, he was ready. We as Christians also have to be ready for whatever calls upon us, whether it's to flee, whether it's to follow, whether it's to fight. These are three things that we must be ready for. It's scientifically proven that God has made our bodies with the ability to release hormones during these tragic situations by creating the flight or fight response. I read something whenever going over this that said, the pursuit of doing right is not to be done alone, but with other believers collectively. That's why God gave us the church. That's why we're here. We're able to use each every one of us to give us courage, to give us strength, to be able to fight through these situations so that if you get into it and you don't know what to do, you have a friend or somebody that you can call that may be able to help you in that situation. We as Christians, as I've said several times, must do our part, each individually and collectively, to prepare our minds and our bodies to create the appropriate response that's predictable in accordance with God's word when any and all situations come about. The devil's going to try to attack us, and we have to be ready. At the end of each lesson, we take time to extend an invitation to those who have not accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior and been buried with Him in baptism. Are you prepared to fight, to take on the challenge, to fight the good fight? The Bible teaches us that to be saved, we have to first hear the word, believe it, turn away from all the evil in our lives, confessing that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, and be buried with Him in baptism, rising up a new man. We also know how easy it is to fall away. Each one of us has our own individual struggles and things that we have to deal with. If you're a child of God and you fall away, you're not alone. We talked about this morning. Curtis talked about it this morning. You're not alone. We all have these struggles. And we're here collectively to help each other. So if you have a need, we encourage you to let it be known as we stand and as we sing.
Just as